Although most of the fall and winter series that the Gilmore Keyboard Festival is presenting will feature artists who travel to Kalamazoo to perform in our venues like Chenery Auditorium and the Wellspring Theater, there are a few notable exceptions who will be performing from faraway places like Berlin and New York City as part of the series. And I think now we can talk about some of the piano masters appearing on the Gilmore season.
Absolutely. Well, and it's a little bittersweet because, you know, these are artists who I would have loved to hear in person, and I'm sure everybody else. But our two piano masters for the coming season, first up will be Pierre-Laurent Aimar, and he is just, you know, one of my all-time heroes. And I know I've said that a few times, but he is one that I haven't had an opportunity actually to hear in person, although I own so many of his recordings. And he has made a name for himself, especially in the works of the 20th century, Ligeti, Courtauld, Messiaen. And what he'll do is he will be live streaming from the Teldec studio in Berlin on November 8th, and it'll be broadcast at 2 p.m. And it is a program consisting of works of Beethoven, the Moonlight Sonata and the Appassionata Sonata, and then he takes works of Messiaen's Catalogue of the Birds, the Woodlark and the Owl, and weaves that in between the Moonlight and the Appassionata Sonata, and ends with Stockhausen Klavierstück number 9.
Wow.
Yeah.
He really did. His career to me is marked by how much of a contemporary music firebrand he was in his early career. I mean, he really embraced new music. So it will, for me, be very interesting to hear how someone who knows how all the rules of music can be broken would appreciate and interpret Beethoven, the rule breaker.
Right. Exactly. Well, and you know, many of us, especially in musicological circles, you know, we realize that, you know, contemporary composers, none of this would have been possible without the forethought, without the vision, the sort of the rebelliousness of Beethoven. You know, Beethoven really broke through so many barriers, not only of form, but of sound, and of what would be thought of as traditional rules in the concert hall. He was really sort of very controversial in his lifetime. You know, young women were barred from listening to Beethoven's music for fear of inciting too extreme emotions.
Just so dangerous.
I wonder what you know, folks who now have the same kind of reactions to this contemporary music, you know, probably would have the same reaction to Beethoven's music in that time. But now we think of it as very standard. So, you know, time is a very interesting thing. And I find it fascinating how Pierre-Laurent is able to connect that, which Beethoven really meant for the music world, to these contemporary composers.
I'm excited to see Pierre-Laurent Aimar in recital because I feel like I know him a little bit from a behind-the-scenes documentary based on the work of a piano tuner in Vienna. And Aimar was his client for part of the documentary. And I had no idea that pianists can ask for and get some of the sounds a technician can provide.
Oh, yeah. And I believe he nearly drives this technician crazy in the documentary as they scour Europe for piano with the perfect B natural or something like that for one of his Bach preludes that he was recording. You know, and rightly so. I mean, he is a world-class artist and expects nothing less than perfection from his instruments. And actually, for this live stream that we are doing from the Teldec studio, we are bringing his piano, Pierre Laurent's piano, specifically from Bavaria. We're bringing it by train to Berlin, and his piano tuner is also flying in. So it's quite the production.
I would like to see. I'd love to see another documentary on that piano's journey to Berlin. Well, I can also say that, you know, while Pierre Laurent Aymar takes his music and his instrument very seriously, he has a great sense of humor. There's a picture on his Facebook page of Pierre Laurent holding a Corona beer and having with a quizzical look on his face. I'm not sure this is the right brew.
That's great. I haven't seen that one yet. That's really wonderful.
My guest today is Pierre van der Vesthaeysen, the executive director of the Gilmore Keyboard Festival. We are looking at the Piano Masters series. Pierre Laurent Aymar is set to perform on November 8th at 2 o'clock Eastern Time from Berlin. And we can all enjoy that by going to thegilmore.org. The second piano master is Yefim Bronfman, returning to the festival.
Yeah, he was going to appear actually at the 2020 festival, and he's one of those artists that we had to make a very difficult call with to early on when we had canceled. And I'm so delighted that we are able to reschedule in a, you know, albeit somewhat different format, but happy that we can do this. And he's going to present some of the program that he was going to play at the festival, at least two of the sonatas that he was going to be playing here, Beethoven's Sonata in D Major, Opus 10, Number 3. And a highlight for me of this program is the Debussy Suite Bergamasque, which has this very famous Clair de Lune in it. But he really has put his own stamp on this very popular suite. And it's just a treat to hear someone of that stature bring their particular gifts and virtuosity and technique to that piece that we all know and love. But to hear it played by somebody like Yefim Bronfman is just quite a different experience altogether. And then he will also play the Appassionata Sonata. So I love that we have two artists who are completely different temperament and from various parts of the world, different parts of the world, offering their takes on one of the seminal works of Beethoven's repertoire. And I love, to me as an enthusiast and as a music lover, I love when that happens.
Yefim Bronfman comes with his own nickname. He's popularly known as Fima, and he comes to us from Russia by way of Israel, where he studied with Ari Vardi and then came to the United States, where I believe this is his residence now, the United States?
Yes, he lives in New York City, and this is actually where he'll be live streaming from Steinway Hall in New York City. And so he can just take a cab on over and he'll be all set.
He's also lucky enough to have played with any number of amazing orchestras and soloists. It's interesting to me that, you know, if you look back at his discography, there's a full series of Mozart sonatas in which he was the young pianist joined by the older master, Isaac Stern. He recorded the entire series.
Yeah, he's had an incredible career and continues to have. I mean, he's just a powerhouse. And, I lived in Cleveland for a number of years before coming here and had the opportunity to hear him with the Cleveland Orchestra a number of times. And it is just a towering, magnificent sound. So I'm thrilled to hear him bringing that to Beethoven repertoire.
Mm-hmm. So the two great pianists billed as piano masters in this year's series are Pierre Laurent Aymard and Yefim Bronfman. But before I let you go, let's talk about Angela Hewitt, the great Canadian pianist coming here for a special event.
Yeah, Angela Hewitt is doing a very special program for us that she will be recording, where she'll be talking and playing Bach's music, talking about and playing Bach's music. She just completed a multi-year survey of recording and performing all of the keyboard works of Bach, well, specifically those that we play on piano. And so it was a massive undertaking. She called the Bach Odyssey. And she was going to be playing at the 2020 Festival, one of those recitals. And so this is repertoire that is taken from her Bach Odyssey, ending with the one of my all-time favorite Bach pieces, and that I performed as a young undergrad student, the Bach Chromatic Fantasy and Fugue. And she will be talking about it as well in a specific program for our Gilmore audiences. So I'm thrilled to have her do that for us.
Always someone I've admired, of course, as a Bach player. She has a whole series on the Hyperion label. Bach, of course, is one of the greatest, if not the greatest composer of all time. There's never a bad time for hearing Bach.
I would agree with that. I can't remember who it was said that or where I read that. It said after Bach, nothing new was invented in the world of music. I mean, he really, you can search for it all and you will find it in Bach. And he really thought of himself, you know, as a scientist, as a technology. He wanted to be known for making all of these breakthroughs and loved exploring technological advances in instrument building and instrument making. Just fascinating person. You know, if you sometimes we read these things where if you could talk to any one musician from past, present, or future, I would have loved to be able to have a conversation with Johann Sebastian.
The Gilmore Keyboard Festival will remind you of who's playing and when, especially if you join their email newsletter with lots of pre-concert announcements coming to your inbox. You can also follow along if you are a Facebook user and other social media. And the concerts will be found at a click at thegilmore.org. So you've made it very accessible, Pierre. Are you making it free, or how do you hope that maybe people will buy tickets? I mean, I would feel obligated to see Pierre Laurent Aymard to pay something.
Yeah. Right. So we, you know, the model will be on a pay what you can basis. Although we do have suggested pricing, you know, what you would have paid if you were to go in person to a Piano Masters or a Rising Stars or a jazz concert. But it is pay what you can. So anywhere from, you know, you can opt to not pay at all, or, you know, if you'd like to pay a couple of $100 for the concert, that would be welcome as well. You know, it does. We decided to take an approach of no cost sharing or revenue sharing with the artist, as some other organizations have done. So we are paying the artist their fee to do this, and we are taking on the production as we would under any normal concert production, with venue rental and crew and staff and marketing and all of this, with the addition of the live stream costs. So we have a camera crew. And the all of the internet fees and live streaming and all the licensing and all that to deal with as well, to make this accessible in this extraordinary time that we find ourselves in, where, you know, we can't have people assemble in a concert hall. So it is a financial undertaking that we're doing, but we wanted to keep the music going and keep the artists working and, you know, keep reaching our audiences and inspiring. So we do ask that you find it in your heart to continue to support the Gilmore and buy a ticket if you feel like you can.